Our next speaker is Ms. Alejandra Gepp, who is an associate director at the National Council of La Raza's Institute for Hispanic Health. In this position, she develops, implements, and evaluates public health initiatives that support community-based efforts to reduce health disparities in Latino communities. Currently, she leads efforts in diabetes and nutrition. Ms. Gepp has a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in education and human resource development. Please join me in welcoming her.
Good morning. The nice part of being the last one in a presentation is that by looking at the other presenters, I can go dito, 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 and I'll be done in no time. But no, I promise you I'm not going to do that. It's my pleasure being here today. Before I start, I want to acknowledge the people who have made of this project a success and a significant contributor for our community. My colleague Vicky Cardoza, who is at the end of the room, she was instrumental in shaping up some of the content of the curriculum, and unfortunately she does not work for us anymore, but we are missing her, but happy that she has moved to work for the government where she is highly needed. This project was supported by Humana Healthcare, Madeline Aritola, work in close collaboration with us, and it's been a pleasure working with her. Fernando Godinez is the president and CEO of the Mexican American Unity Council, one of NCLR's affiliates who also is in attendance this morning, and he was crucial to the effective implementation of the program. Lastly but not least, our evaluation team, led by Dr. Britt Rios. She is the director of our evaluation center, which is run out of the University of California in Long Beach. Enrique Gino Milawi and head students were key in evaluating our effort. Who are we? For those who don't know what the National Council of La Raza is, or NCLR, is the largest civil rights advocacy organization advocating for better opportunities for Hispanic Americans here in the United States. We have several divisions, applied research, policy analysis, and advocacy, and our efforts, especially in the health arena, are channeled through our vast network of community-based organizations, and we have nearly 300 community-based organizations affiliated to our network. I specifically work for NCLR Institute for Hispanic Health, which is the health division of the organization, and our goal and mission, is to improve the health and well-being of Hispanics. I already mentioned that we partner to execute our work. We partner with our affiliates, as well as government agencies, private funders, and other entities. And we promote, and I really want to direct your attention to the last blur there, because we take really great pride in saying that we really promote science-based, culturally competent, and linguistically appropriate interventions. And I'm so excited to be part of this panel, because all the presenters have done exactly what we have done in terms of culturally competency. So why diabetes among Latinos, among the elderly specifically? The elderly are living longer but not healthier. What are the reasons? Latinos are disproportionately affected by all kind of chronic diseases and risk factors, which start very early on in life. It's been already mentioned, obesity, overweight, obesity, and smoking, high blood pressure, and so forth. That leads eventually to the development of chronic diseases such as diabetes. So what do we do about it? So To address this need, we've developed and evaluated, in this case, a 12-month diabetes self-management project, Viviendo Saludable, or Living Healthy, to increase self-management behaviors among elderly Latino. This program was piloted with an NCLR affiliate, the Mexican American Unity Council, and Fernando is here. I mentioned earlier, he's the president and CEO of the organization, and it was piloted in San Antonio, Texas. And why San Antonio? The diabetes incidence among Latinos in that part of the country was huge, but quite honestly, the funder, Humana, wanted to test it there. So Viviendo Saludable is designed to increase knowledge and improve self-management behaviors among the elderly Latino diagnosed with type 2 diabetes using the Promotores de Salud or Community Health Worker model. How many of you do know what or have worked with a community health worker model? Couple. Okay. Community health workers are becoming very, very relevant, especially under the Health Affordable Care Act. So I really encourage you to train or to recruit your community health workers because it's out there right now. So what do we intend to do with Viviendo Saludable? Improve the understanding of diabetes, promote diabetes prevention and self-management, and test the Promotores de Salud and popular education technique in diabetes. Methodology, I mentioned earlier that we conduct science-based studies. So we go through an institutional review board, which is submitted to our evaluation center in Long Beach. In this case, follow that, we follow a formative research methodology. By judging my accents, you can see that I wasn't born or raised here in the United States. I speak Spanish as a first language, and I'm very proud of it. And a proud Chilean, in case you are wondering where I'm coming from. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because although I have in-depth knowledge of my community, we don't make assumptions about what the community knows or doesn't know. And every presentation I give, I put an emphasis on the importance of conducting a formative research piece in every single intervention you do. And why is this important? Because the formative research piece really gives you knowledge and it guides your future efforts in the area. You assess what awareness the target population is, knowledge, intention, and so forth. In this case, we conducted two focus group discussions and in-depth interviews. The in-depth interviews are also key because the key leaders in that community are interview and have the opportunity to provide an opinion on barriers and issues with accessing healthcare for that community. Follow that, based on the analysis of focus group discussion and IDIs, a culturally competent, appropriate toolkit was designed, which was used by Promotores de Salud during a charla. Charla is a small community session, 8 to 12 people. And why a small group? Because you have a greater chance of getting the community more involved. Follow that, we conducted in this case a promotor's training, and some of the items in the training agenda included information on facilitation, skill, diabetes, and certainly the program implementation, which includes evaluation. The intervention consisted of recruiting 100 type 2 diabetes diagnosed community members, which were assigned to an intervention or control group. And our evaluation attempted to measure changes in knowledge, attitudes, self-efficacy, and behavioral intent, and so forth. So formative research, the affiliate is given a subgrant, in this case the Mexican American Unity Council, and through Promotores de Salud, they conducted the recruitment of participants. The participation in the focus group was voluntary and confidential, and participants completed a demographic questionnaire as well as and participated, and they were done in English and in Spanish, and the session lasted about an hour and so forth. Ooh, 5 minutes. Incentives. Two key findings there: limited knowledge, and although there is a vast information of resources in San Antonio about diabetes, it was deemed as not being culturally competent. What you see in front is the cover of the materials that we develop. And I want to call to the last blur there, the evaluation questionnaires were carefully crafted, and I'm going to make a comment later on. Promotores training, the affiliate recruited 7 of them, and you have some of the data in this place. I'm trying to rush so that I can get to the actual intervention. So two groups. The first group was deemed as the intervention group, composed by 56 participants. And these were participants who were living in Palacio del Sol. Palacio del Sol is a housing facility that is part of the Mexican-American Unity Council. This cohort entered into a promotor-led 3-month management intervention. All participants provided biometric measurements at 2 points, and received a charla and were follow up for a period of 3 months. To be fair to the cohort group, control group, the intervention was given after a 3-month period. Cohort 2 did not have a follow up by promotores. And that is just some general characteristics. Demographic profiles, the vast majority of participants were either divorced, widow, or separated. And remember, they were 65 years of age and older. The vast majority, contrary to what you may see on TV nowadays, that it seems that we are old, we all come from somewhere, this is 63.8% had been born here in the United States. The vast majority had either middle school or high school educational level. So after they were provided with the intervention, what did we see in terms of results? We got significantly higher knowledge level regarding the use of the medication after participation in the charla, and I highlighted in red those findings and the differences between cohort 1 and cohort 2. We were very interested in the self-efficacy part. How sure was this person that after the charla and after the 3-month intervention or coaching by Promotores de Salud, they had the intention to continue it. And we got really nice results. They did intend to maintain changes in their lifestyle, including eating and exercise habits. Food consumption, all the presenters mentioned how much we like to eat, but we don't like to exercise as much. And it's really a problem. Especially in San Antonio. If you've been in San Antonio, the portions are really huge. Margaritas are awesome. And it's hard not to say no. But nevertheless, so in this group, significant changes were found in participants' reported perceptions of whether or not they could eat meals and so forth. Physical activity was essential. San Antonio, during the summer months, gets very, very hot. The temperature goes over 100 degrees, and these are seniors, so it's difficult to move. Palacio del Sol has exercise equipment, they have a pool, and because everyone lives, it's like a building, everyone lives there, promoters were instrumental in facilitating that process. So at the end of the intervention, participants were reported significant changes in the likelihood that they could exercise 15 to 30 minutes 4 to 5 times a week. And also that they could prevent their blood sugar sugar level from rising. There are some of the trends that we saw. They believe that playing an active role in their health was important. And why is this important? We Latinos, I'm Latinos, no, but in general, believe it, and this is one of our health values. Oh my God, we got diabetes, I'm going to die, there is nothing I can do about it. Just go and ask my mom, and she's going to tell you, hija, what can I tell you? I'm going to die anyway. So how do, as a health educator, overcome those health beliefs? And we have found that the promoters are instrumental. I'm not going to read the rest because probably you read it. In terms of biometrics, differences between cohort 1 and 2, we did not see a decrease in the A1C level. And by the way, one of the things I wanted to comment before I forget is that although this group was living with diabetes type 2, for many years, they did not know what an A1C was. And why? Because the doctors are considered gods, so you don't ask those questions. You don't ask what the medications are for. So there are many similarities between the other ethnic groups in this presentation. We did see a significant drop in weight, which was important. And that was and blood pressure. That was the only one that proved to be statistically significant. Going back to my initial question at the beginning of the presentation, is the promotores de salud model or using promotores de salud worth the effort? The answer is yes. Promotoras do provide the social support to increase health efficacy among immigrant and U.S.-born Latinos. And why is that? One of the findings from the formative research piece was that participants do not ask the questions to the doctors, but they go and ask the family members. And what I can tell you is that when my daughter was born, before I called the pediatrician, I would call my grandmother. The system, the healthcare system, is so fragmented here, and one doesn't have confianza in many cases with the doctor, not to mention that you have to wait like 10 or 15 minutes on the line when you call or when you go to the doctor's office. So the analysis does indicate high promise in the terms of the intervention. So we are in the process now of designing the second phase of Viviendo Saludable. The sample size was a small 100. It's difficult to prove statistic significant power, but it was, as someone mentioned, it was a pilot. Another thing with this particular group was the age. Although extreme measures were taken to ensure that the training was culturally competent and the materials were culturally competent, we could not assess whether the transfer of learning was as much as we wanted to due to age. The 3-month follow-up to top A1C may not have been suffice, and there is my contact information, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.